2:02 p.m. Right at that time. It is Wednesday, October 25th, 2017, and we're going to have the... Joseph's not going to be here?
Nope.
We didn't need him anyways. We're going to have a workshop here, so we're going to do the workshop first. At this time, I'm going to make sure we have everyone here we're supposed to have here. And I'm showing that we have Commissioner Orlando, Commissioner Petsky, Commissioner Trotton has switched down there, Commissioner Anderson, Commissioner Watford. All right, so we're missing Dr. Ruiz, missing Mrs. Webster.
No.
Oh, crap,
he's here.
Commissioner O'Crap's here.
Charlton.
Yeah, I'm missing Watford. I've got Charlton, Webster, Petsky. So we're only missing, we're missing somebody else here.
You're missing Ruiz and Anderson.
All right, so only Commissioner Anderson and Commissioner Ruiz are missing. And Kingsley is, he's resigned, he's no longer here. Okay. All right, so this is going to start here, guys, at 5, as we already said, and then we're going to go into our regular meeting at 6 p.m. So with that, everybody out there, turn off the beepers and pagers or phones or whatever. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and the Commission. So today's workshop is a continuation of what we started in probably some months ago, and that has to do with bringing about a change in the north side of Hacker Heights. And I believe based on our discussions, we decided it would be a best alternative to start with looking at the VMB street, the whole street, because we believe that a change in that part of the city will propel other growth in the north side of the city and the city as a whole. In recent months, we've brought about different topics to the workshop on the VMB, but staff has decided it's about time we put our words into writings and then our writings into actions. So we have decided to come up with an overlay district for the VMB the whole of the stretch, just like what we currently have on 2410. So we are in the process of developing an overlay district to regulate development. And currently with the 2410, we believe we have strict regulations in terms of building designs and stuff like that. But with the VMB, based on our discussions, we will decide whether we want to lessen the development regulations or toughen it, depending on what we want to see in that part of the city. So today, we have a working plan. Our plan is today's PNZ, we are going to discuss the vision of the future, that is the vision for the whole stretch in relation to the north side and the city as a whole. And then we look at the inventory of existing and potential conditions. We want to look at the strengths of the area, the weakness, the opportunities, and the threats, and look at what we can use to help in the formation of the overlay district. And then next month's PNZ meeting, we want to discuss the policies, plans, and then strategies, as well as projects that we believe, if inculcated in this overlay district, can help to bring about the change that we want to see in that part of the city. And then the December PNZ, we have a question mark on there because we're still thinking whether the meeting is going to come on or not, and Courtney will discuss that later. And then we'll discuss the implementation program. And then later on, we want to discuss development policy and then the public investment plan, and then try to see how the city can work with private investors to bring about a change in that part of the city and as a whole. So moving forward today, we are looking at the vision that we want to create, how we want to see VMB in some years to come, and then we'll look at what is currently existing and then what can be done, what can be harnessed in those conditions to bring about that change that we want to see in that part of the city. In order to create a vision, we first of all need to identify the problem, and not just a problem, but the need, why we want to create an overlay district. I believe when the city wanted to create a 2410 overlay district, there were some identified problems or there was some identified need as to why that overlay district was necessary. So moving forward, we want to identify the problems in the area and then try to see what we can do about it as part of the overlay district document that we want to prepare with staff support and your support as a whole. So first of all, we believe there's the need for an upscale retail outlet, offices, restaurants, or other land uses or employment in that part of the city. As you drive on V&B, you realize we have businesses, but I've been here for about 2 years and I can count so many businesses that have come into that part of the city and didn't even last for months. I know of a place that came to get a business license and within 2 months they were gone. So we need to find out what the problem is and then what we can do to change that perception about that area. The area lacks adequate parking facilities. If you drive there during the day, you might probably not see this as a problem, but I've done some survey in the night, and most of these clubs have parking problems in the night. To the extent that they park on the grass and so many other places. A typical example would be the bar that closed down somewhere last year. I think it was called the Club Empire, where there was a shooting in that club. And I've driven there one night, and I saw a lot of parking on the grass, which I believe wasn't really a designated parking space for that business. So there's a problem with parking facilities, especially during the night. But like I said, when you drive there during the day, it looks very empty, and so you might not see this problem. Then the perception of the area as being unsafe, I believe this has to do with the history of the area. For most of you who have lived in this city for so long, I'm sure most of you will know what I'm talking about. And I think the perception has got to do with the history as to the kind of businesses that came in there and what has happened to those businesses. And of course, what those businesses have caused the city in the past. And I believe this is one of the reasons why when any business comes into the V&B, it is very difficult to get people from the south side or people from other areas of the city of Accra Heights to drive all the way down to V&B to access these businesses or these services because of the perception that the area is unsafe. I still talk to people in the area who still think the Gentleman's Club down on V&B is still in Accra Heights, but geographically it's in Nolanville, but they still have the perception that it's still in Accra Heights. So these are some of the things that we want to change or bring about some policies to address such problems. I will move on to, we also have a problem in public improvements, such as streets, street lighting, curbs, gutters, sidewalks, and other facilities in the area. As you drive on the street, you realize the whole street does not have a sidewalk. It's really an eyesore, especially considering the fact that V&B is also a gateway to Accra Heights. So this is a problem that we believe the city should look at. And then there's a sense of deteriorating of structures. We have structures that could be harnessed into potential successful businesses, but they've been abandoned. Probably the owners have even forgotten they have such business buildings in the area. So as part of the overlay district, it is our goal to see how best we can utilize existing buildings in those areas into better businesses or into better ventures for the benefits of the whole stretch. So we're still looking at the current issues, and the current issues will involve problems. It will involve current facilities that could be improved upon to help in the city. So showing on here, I have a map of V&B, and along right by, I think, Halley Drive, we took some pictures. This is the whole stretch of the V&B. As you can see on there, it's a 5-lane, no sidewalk. It doesn't look appealing if you enter the city, for the first time. It's a whole stretch of land, and as you can see, both on the west and east side of the street, these buildings are abandoned. There's nothing going on in there, which is very common in that area. Businesses come in and they leave within a few months. So these are current issues, and they are not necessarily just a problem, but we just also showing them that we currently have the facility, we have the street. All we need to do is to see how best we can put a sidewalk on both sides, if possible, bring about some medians to check the whole terrain of the street to make it appealing to anybody who enters into the city for the first time. Took a picture, and this is a land that is being that is available for lease or for sale. This is showing that we currently have vacant lands in the city, that any business could come in to develop on. And as you can see, it already has some flat concrete work on there. If any business comes in, they could potentially easily build up on this piece of land for any other services that they want to put in. So currently it's a problem, it's vacant, there's nothing going on there, but it can be harnessed for something profitable in the future.
Well, that place has been vacant there for at least 45 years.
Yes, I've heard it's more than 30 yeah. years.
And the concrete's lasted pretty good all the time, mm-hmm. but that used to be our Western Auto store back in the 70s.
I see.
We had a Western Auto there. Anyways, and the manager blew it up because he had been ripping it off or something like that. But utility-wise, do we even have utility still to that property there? I mean, it has been occupied since the 70s. I doubt there's still...
Probably we might have probably a sewer line or water line running.
Yeah, well, the main lines will be there. The service lines will probably be shot.
Do we even do? Who owns that property? Do you know who owns it?
I believe it belongs to Speedy.
Speedy Myers,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as I said, now it's a vacant land, but we believe if a good business comes in, they could potentially take advantage of the existing sewer and water lines and then put up a building in there.
I think we're going to have to, if somebody hasn't moved in there since the 70s, mm-hmm. then we've got a problem somewhere to get somebody in there. I mean, it's something. And I would think Speedy Myers would be interested in building something, finishing it out, renting it out, something like that. A lot of those properties down there, I think people get into it, they rent the place, and they don't have the money to keep things going, is the deal. And once they rent it there, they don't have any money put away for slow business, or this expense, or that expense, and next thing you know, they're out of there. So the management of a lot of these properties are simply putting them in there. They're not really requiring them to have, credit check or X amount of money in the bank or something. Of course, we can't force them to do that.
Part of the problem, too, is the ownership of the properties. Look at what commercial property rents for in a like city size anywhere else in the country. This is high rent district, and that's part of the problem. You can't get a young startup company to come in and pay the kind of prices. I've been looking for a building since 2009, and I'm not going to pay the same kind of prices that I can pay in Seattle or next door to Microsoft in Redmond, Washington. I'm not going to pay those prices here. It doesn't justify it. And the people that own these properties, they would rather sit there and take the deduction of their taxes for the loss than to drop their prices and get viable businesses in. And I don't know what the city's going to do about that.
I agree. We've had a chance to talk to potential business owner, people who talk about the fact that people want too much for properties in Hacker Heights. Even on veterans, and that is the reason why. Yeah, I think most people on veterans feel their properties are worth millions of dollars, and so the prices are really high. That is why we've had a lot of businesses being stuck like that.
They see the potential of Veterans Memorial. The problem is they want the prices that it would bring once it's fixed up. They want it today. Instead of putting their own money in to help or give the city some direction of what can happen so that we can get it started. You know, they're wanting to make their money now, maybe because they won't be here in 20 years when this is finally going to get done. But to try to get the private sector, you know, is like pulling teeth. They're not going to do it. I think the last meeting we had, I told you I have a friend out of Seattle that works for a very large development company. He came down here and he goes, no, there's no, because he's looking for a place. And I said, come see me. He came out for the weekend. We talked about things. I took him on D&D, but there's just no way I'm putting anything in here. And that's what you're going to get from the outside. So if we don't fix the things with the people that are here now, we're never going to get anybody from the outside.
A great point, well noted. On this slide, I'm also showing abandoned buildings for potential redevelopment. I happened to talk to one of the staff, and he told me how vibrant this building used to be back in the days.
Yeah, it was
a lot. As it sits right now, it's vacant, and this is the kind of stuff that we believe can be possibly you know, harness to bring about changes. Any business could go in there if we put it in place the right incentives or facilities to promote businesses in the area. Not just build it, just, we also have this building. I believe we've had talks about a potential development going into this building. And as of this right now, we haven't received any concrete construction or any documents. But I think there's a potential of this building being developed in few weeks to come. So I just wanted to show it to let you know. These are some of the things that can be done in the future if we put in place certain incentives or certain measures.
Well, you know, one thing I'll say, those two pictures there, they don't look that bad. That crack down there, when you first pull into Harper Heights, coming from Killeen on the left-hand side, that dump is there, that place should be condemned. I mean, that thing there is just, I mean, between the asphalt, crappy parking lot, the trees on the roof, ripping the roof half off, the ugly red paint, I mean, hideously, right there by the drainage. The minute you come into Harper Heights,
the building department went and checked that building out, they were red tagged.
Is it from Nolan?
If you come from Harper Heights or from Killeen,
okay.
First building on the left hand side, right behind the old Moss Mobile Home Park building. Or right in front of it, I should say. So those buildings don't look too bad there. And Jim Wright has fixed up the one there on Veterans across from the old movie place. But right when you first pull in there and set, you know, I almost want to take the Harper Heights sign and move it over.
Yeah, let it be.
You want to put Nolan building there. So something about 500 feet apart. That's all that's there.
Yeah.
You come into Nolanville, you know, the Harper Heights sign is I don't know, what, a quarter of a mile inside Nolanville? So they immediately see the burned out or junky Mexican rodeo, whatever place that was. And then they see the ladies club.
Yes.
Okay. And that's Harper Heights. That's their definition of Harper Heights. Yeah. So that's from that end. Then you come in from the other side, you see the building that Larry's talking about, and a couple more buildings that are stuck together right there in that little low-lying spot. Nobody wants to come in there.
You should just take down that exit sign. That'd be cheaper than anything.
Like I said, put
Harper Heights. All right, I'll just take that exit. Nobody will take that exit anymore. And the sidewalk, I'm all down with that sidewalk for sure. I know Mark will bring up the expensive sidewalk. They're very expensive. But every time I go down Veterans, and it's not that awful, but when I do, I see a lady there with a stroller, bumpity, 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 bump. She's got one kid on her back, two kids walking with her, and one in the stroller. Just bumpity, 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 bumpity. It's like third world country, almost. You know, not quite, but it's pretty, so sidewalks there, I would think that would be something we'd get on. Let's just do one side of the road. Sidewalks all the way down one side, and the bumpy bump people can move over to that side, and then we'll do the other one in time. The median, I don't think that median is going to take place in my lifetime. I would love it. I mean, that looks great. But sidewalk there would be something, and I know what grants, money, whatever else there in that, highway department, but that would be something I have never seen in my life. Living in Harper Heights 52 years, that would be a huge thing over there. Continue, I know we're getting on
track. Yeah, with a sidewalk, we have the plan in our mobility 2030, and so apart from this, overlay district, we have Mobility 2030, that is the document that talks about how we want to connect Harper Heights, bicycle trails, walking trails, bicycle lanes, and sidewalks and all of that. We have veterans listed in there. So as time goes on, we believe the city council will look at that as well, even before this document goes to place. Yeah.
The other thing is that just how terrible be in 2030. Right next to the road itself.
48.
Is there any thought in this new design to actually bury those?
Well, we are currently in the process of bringing a solution, so I have this noted down, and it's going to be part of the problems that we want to identify to correct in that part of the city. So everything that is being said right now is going to be documented in the whole.
Well, the poles do help slow down the drunk drivers.
Okay, once again, I have this area. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. I believe the building to the west is functioning, the one in the middle is not. And the reason why I showed this was to show what kind of parking lot this business has. I don't think it's conducive, especially when it rains, with all the potholes in there. So wanted to show this as a problem, but at the same time, there are potential buildings in there that could be harnessed to bring about that change that we want to see in Hakka and on VMB. So basically, the area is already built. And so most of the development that will be going on VMB will be a form of redevelopment more than new development. So that's why I want to show this picture to show what the current area looks like.
Well, all this, Joseph, hey, there's my little place right there. Yeah, but this one here, the Joseph had talked, I think you did too, about the having food trucks down there.
Exactly.
That was brought up. And that would be fantastic down there. 195 and Killeen. Before Stan Schlater, there's all kinds of food trucks over there on the side of the road where the old driving used to be. Over by the end of the day, and all kinds of trucks.
The building in the middle, we had a lady come in to start a business, a restaurant business, but for some reasons, it didn't last more than 2 months, and she was gone. And so it's one of the problems that we talk about. It's difficult to get people to drive from their homes to go to a restaurant on VMB. So then we need to find out what can be done to make people feel safe or that desire to drive to that part of the city. And of course, we have another building in here. If a developer wants to come in, there's already a pull for a sign.
This is the one here that I was talking about. I don't know why I thought I had red. I think it did. I think further over it's red or something. But that place there is the one that is just a dump.
Yeah.
Right there where the drainage thing here, next to it, the Mobile Park is behind it. And this picture, I'd say this picture looks good. Whoever took this picture, they should be working at a real estate place.
Part of the picture. Yeah, took the rest of the building. I mean, it's...
Yeah. But this is the one here, and that's, I mean, it looks really good there in that picture. But I know that building, and I know drive by there how bad it is. Please continue. Yeah.
That's so once again, it's a problem, but we believe, some cities have done it. Changing the whole, downgraded area and revitalizing the whole area as a whole. So it is a problem right now, but we believe if the right measures are put in place, we could always change the whole perception and or the whole landscape of the area.
I have been accused many times of being overly optimistic. I'm extremely optimistic. Sometimes I'm overly optimistic, but yeah, I think that veterans area can turn around. And I'm all for it. I know this entire panel here is all for it also. We just have to push the city council and get something going here. And just all it is a little bit here, a little bit there, and get it going. Just like Knight's Way took forever to get that thing through. We got it through there. People actually have no problem having the requirements we have on the signage. It's like it was there the entire time. They don't have a clue. We get down here, we clean this place up, start with getting rid of that place.
Is there any money in the budget at all for upgrade the pavement and maybe putting in curbs?
Well, the pavement's going to be the highway departments. They maintain all the
gap. But, you know, we need some help here.
Do we have
the
CIP in the budget?
As Larry mentioned, this is a TxDOT road, and the city did participate somewhat, but a big highway like this, talking curb and gutter, pavement would be very expensive.
But we can put sidewalks there. That's something, Mark. Do we have to have approval from the highway department?
We have to have approval, but they will.
Yeah.
Because I firmly believe if we put in curbs, not the sidewalks right away, but curbs and resurface there, it would bring a 60% better look to that short strip there. And then if you can get some more. I don't see that as a place for restaurants. I don't see that as a place for upscale retail. I really don't. I see that as a place where light manufacturing could be, auto shops, that kind of businesses, gas stations, all that kind of, tire shops, all that kind of stuff along here. Every city needs an area like that, and Harker Heights would put, you know, one tire shop here and one gas station here and that kind of thing. But if you could get a service road like most people do, where they go down there, they need a muffler, they go know where to go, if they need tires, they know where to go, if they need to pick up their auto shops or whatever, that's what I see it as. I don't really see it as, you know, the restaurant, the, you know, the whatever, the boutique shows, the shops, that kind of stuff.
Like what about the bars and, you know, like live entertainment, things like that? Not,
those always seem to melt into those light industrial areas because they can be noisy at night. There's normally extra parking in these other places.
It could be used at night.
Exactly. So those are natural, you know, cozy up type businesses. But like that lady, she was in a restaurant. Well, nobody's coming down that street to go down.
They closed down within a few months. No. So yeah.
So we gotta be realistic of what's gonna go there.
Well, our major retail corridors now aren't full. So they're going to come here first. They're going to be on 2410 or on Stillhouse Road as that continues around that corner where Walmart is. Until that fills up, nobody's going to go to the old section. Anytime you see the bigger cities where nobody comes back and revitalizes the older, you know, inner city areas, is because they're full.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like throwing a rock into a pond, the waves go out, and then eventually they hit the edge and they come back in. That's exactly the way growth happens.
I think we still have some retired people here that getting out of the military that may want to open up. I mean, we do have a lot of automotive shops down there that we didn't have 5 years ago. And they looked, those guys look busy as hell. I mean, their cars stacked up there. I've had work done there at that one diesel place. We got that. My brother's old place, church moved in there. And I think another church moved in there, which is cool. Jim Wright's building, automotive place went there. And I think he kicked them out. Another one's moved in there.
I agree with Jeffrey. You know, we need to target realistic.
Yes.
What it's going to be, and go after that. It's not going to be the upscale retail.
No.
They're going to go in 2410 and wrap around the Stillhouse Road. You know, that's our target, is light industrial and warehouses and getting a FedEx hub here or a UPS.
And be restrictive here. Be more restrictive on the parking, the whole deal. I'm hardcore on parking. I like to count parkings. And we have people here that don't like to count parkings, people that, you know, well, the size of the business is going to be controlled by the parking. Well, I believe that, you know, per square foot, we should have parking in that place. I don't care what's in there. It's going to be based upon the square footage, whether it's a bar, club, restaurant, a tire shop, whatever else.
Well, just like David mentioned, that we've got all these cars parking on the grass net. That's my big hang-up.
Yeah,
make them park on an improved surface. Get the city council to pass an ordinance so that when these people want to park on the grass.
Are you talking about residential or are you talking about down here?
All of them. You go down there, they're right at night, there are people parked every place they can think of. Get them off the grass so they have to use the pavement. I sat down there one night for 4 hours, never did see a policeman, by the way, which is bad in itself. But people are parking wherever they want to park. And again, if you have light industrial and they close down at 6 p.m. and the bars don't really start going until 9 or 10, until 2, and you make sure they have to park on the asphalt, then they'll use the asphalt. If you say, oh, well, you can park anywhere you want, we don't have any rules about parking on grass or parking on trees or parking wherever we want to park, that's what they're going to do because it's closer to the door. You know, and you get better people to go to these places if you make the places look better. And right now, look at I'm sorry, like I said, I spent 4 hours down there one night. Oh my God. It's like a parade of garbage coming from Killeen to Harker Heights. And it's not soldiers. It is the lowest class that you can think of coming in from Killeen. It's like a parade. And we have problems here, and then you find out that the problems are started by somebody that's not from Harker Heights. So we gotta start where we need to start, you know. We gotta stop trying to put lipstick on the pig and get it out of the way. We gotta start, and if it costs a little money, it costs a little money. You know, and if we have to go barking up TxDOT's tree, great. You know, I mean, nobody wants to take on TxDOT because TxDOT is TxDOT. But, you know, we need help. Sorry, I'm taking over the
floor. No, you getting heard of any more stories?
Good stuff.
Are we getting any inquiries on businesses wanting to go there if they don't go there because there's regulations or building restrictions? We're talking about changing building restrictions, but nobody's even asking about them anyway.
Well,
that's not keeping them from coming, you know.
Okay. So, personally, I think Ben, Courtney, if I'm wrong, we don't get opposition based on our development regulation. It's got to do with the perception of the area.
Yes, exactly.
Business coming in, they just don't survive in the area. Yeah. So. Okay.
If you're going to put any light manufacturing in there, you're going to have to put a lot of fill dirt in there. here and level out the land. North of VMB, it drops off. I mean, you might have 60 feet, 70 feet, and then it's straight down.
Floodplain.
I mean, and then you're in the floodplain, where the old baseball field used to be.
Yeah.
We got flooded out one year.
Right.
Because that's the only field we had to play.
Yeah, those soccer fields down there, I don't know if any of y'all been down there when they're playing soccer.
Yeah.
I got down there one day to see a client that I do a lot of work on Turnbow.
Sure.
Funny thing there. But anyways, you cannot get out of there. There are literally hundreds of cars down. It is amazing how many people play soccer. I didn't even know.
Yeah. Well,
but that area down there, the fields were so green, it looked so great there. I was down there just...
The kids buy their own shoes, they give them a few soccer balls. All you have to do is level it out, and you know, it's a nice place to play.
Yeah, that is. I mean, in that day, so those people dropping off their kids should be able to go somewhere up there. But we're not getting
get a burger or whatever. Yeah.
And the Hilltop restaurant over there, you know, a lot of people don't want to go. I know several bank presidents, CFOs here locally, they eat there at least once a week, if not more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great barbecue.
Just a wrong place to. But please continue. It's doing great.
All right. So we also have undeveloped lands that could be looked at for future developments. An example being on here, and I believe the one on the right will be Ryder's Rent-A-Car from Nolanville. I think right opposite the Gentleman's Club, there's this undeveloped land. I think I heard it used to be a mobile home park. And I think we did, you did mention the car repair garages along VMB. We think it's good for the city, but looking at this, we as a staff believe a little bit of screening could help. As you see on this picture, most of them are really busy with cars parked all the time. And so with a situation like this, we believe a little bit of screening for this kind of businesses would really help the whole, improve the landscape of the area. And then what I show us a typical sign in VMB and how it looks like currently. Most of the signs there are multi-purpose users with different businesses putting their signs on it. And it is as we drove and took the pictures, we realized that some of these signs might have about 5 tenants on it, but only 2 businesses are currently operating out of it. So the name might still be there, but the business is not operating. So these are things that we need to look at in this overlay district that we want to create. Typical one being this. So as you see this, right on this sign, we have the Just Cooking Barbecue. I believe the business is no more. It's closed. It came in and probably didn't survive for more than 6 months. So these are some of the things that we want to look at.
Maurice's old place. Yeah. Boy died. The son died.
We don't want to be strict on sign regulation, but we believe something can be done about this kind of sign to, you know, it looks like somebody just got out and put some boards together and wrote on it, but we believe we can do something about it.
That looks better than most of the signs that are along B&B, so I can't complain.
But something more uniform there would be good, you know.
Sure. And especially the fact that these businesses are not currently not existing. So can we put a policy to let business owners that as soon as you move out of business or from a building, your sign must follow you or probably make it empty like most cities do. In cities like Dallas and Arlington, once you leave a building, then they make that space blank so the next person can also put their business in there. So these are some of the stuff we want to look at. And then this probably is on the damaged area. I believe the shooting that happened was right behind this building. A typical sign on the typical commercial entertainment area. It looks big, but you could actually count the number of parking spaces in that part of the city. So the question is, where else do they park in the night when those parking spaces are full? Obviously, the grass and other areas. So these are some of the things we also want to look at when it comes to parking.
And that's right there where the 21 Club is, right?
I think this
not that green and purple and whatever building.
Very true. That's club level.
Club level,
they have booths just behind it, and the city barn sits behind it.
Yeah, and as we drove in, they realized they didn't. I don't think they would have parking to accommodate 50 people in there, so then the question is...
Well, they don't, because they park down, yeah. They park north on that, yeah. Road, all the way down,
down
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they...
And the only way to see this being a problem is especially driving the night. Like you rightly said, it's crazy. It's really on a wild country and all those places. It's parking everywhere. It's very congested in the night. So.
Well, that whole area now is extremely dark. I mean, the light poles that have lights don't really seem to light up very much. And it's a very dark area there.
Then, once again, we have some parking along... the street, we believe something can be done about screening such users. And then I just wanted to show this. We also have large truck parking on along the street. I believe this parking lot is for the hotel on the opposite side. So once you get an accommodation in there, you're allowed to park your truck. So moving forward, is this something that we want to keep seeing, or is there anything we could work on? Securing the place and, you know, avoiding any...
I think that would look good in Nellaville.
Yeah, for that parking, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So moving forward, we've seen the problems and we've seen some current situations and how best we can improve upon them. So what is the justification or what is the reason why we think developing a plan for that area would need City Council or any other body to come in to invest or put in every effort to make it a reality? Staff believes VNB is in serious need of revitalization. As we've talked, the whole street itself, we talk about sidewalk, we talk about amenities, we talk about enhancing the buildings, we talk about the whole landscape of the area. We believe the whole street needs some form of revitalization. Secondly, we believe this plan would help us to develop a vision for the future. Why? How do we want to see the area in the next 5 to 10 years? How do we want to see the area in the next 10 to 20 years? These are some of the things that we believe this overlay district would, with your help and the support from PNZ, would capture as part of the document. And then also we want to coordinate improvement activities. What can we suggest as policies? What can we do as implementation? Do we have to create a budget to develop part of VNB every year? Or what? How can we partner with private investors to bring changes in this area? We believe these are some of the things that we need to include in the plan. And also want to provide guidance to owners and developers. If somebody comes in to put certain businesses in VNB, we believe if we have a document, we're able to let them know probably this business might not work in that area due to experience and what we've seen in current trends. So we believe as part of this document, we want to put it in there. For example, you did talk about putting lights in industries or in that part of the city. So if anybody comes in and wants to put in a warehouse in there, we believe these policies will create some sort of incentives or some motivation to allow such businesses to come into that part of the city, since that is what we want to see overall in the long term as well. So this document will take care of that. And then lastly, we want to use the overlay district to market the whole area for investment and development. We believe once we invest and develop VNB, it will propel development in the north side of the city and the city as a whole, and will give Hakai a better image, since it's one of the entry points into the city. So we sat down and we try to create a vision for this whole overlay district. Like I said, we've been discussing it. Now it's about time we put something in writing. And so the vision that we want to start working on is to work with owners or tenants and then TxDOT to make this district a source of pride to the Hakai community. We did mention owners and tenants because as you drive along the street, you realize that it's almost 90% built. So currently we have owners who probably don't live in the city or have nothing to do with the building. And some of the buildings already have tenants. So these are the people that we need to contact and work with as a whole to be able to bring that kind of change that we want to see. And just like we discussed here, the street is owned by TxDOT, and so we cannot do anything without bringing them on board. So in collaboration with owners, tenants, and TxDOT, we believe we can make this district a source of pride to the Haka Heights community. And with this vision, we have two main missions that we want to accomplish. One, we want to create an attractive, vibrant business district where diverse offerings are a strong asset, appreciated by locals and visitors alike. As you drive along the street, you realize most of the businesses in there had to do with clubs, restaurants, or entertainments. And so we want to use what we currently have and improve upon it. And then, as we've talked about already now, which I have in writing, we also want to see some form of diverse uses like light manufacturing and stuff like that. So this is something that, based on our conversation today, we might probably bring some changes to the mission, because we have heard all that has gone on here today. And so Courtney and I and staff will sit down to see how best we can put what we've heard tonight into this mission as well. So we might probably have about 4 or 5 different missions based on the conversation tonight. And then secondly, we want to make VNB an important economic and cultural asset to the community for present and future generations. Talking about economic, bringing in warehouses, good economic investments, bringing in light manufacturing, good economic investments, restaurants or offices, all of these are good economic things that we believe we can bring into the area to harness or change the whole perception about what people think about VNB, and then encourage more development and bring about general development in the area. This, Joseph made me put this in there. This looks an exaggerated view of VNB, but we believe that as time goes on, that's not what we're going to have at the end of the day, but we believe that it stops we, as a city and as a board and as a city council, from proposing sidewalks along VNB. Nothing stops us in the future, if Hacker High become so rich, nothing stops us from having a median that looks like this. This is a long-term plan. This is a long-term plan, and nothing stops us. And as you can see on there, we have some large buildings shown on here, which could be for potential warehouses. We have buildings that could be for potential businesses and stuff like that. So this looks an exaggerated map, but we as a staff think we want to think big in terms of that, but we'd always start small and then grow as the years progress. So I believe Joseph has shown this before, but once again, we want to bring this up to show that, I mean, of course, we could have sidewalks, better signage being shown on there, better median, and like you rightly said, just putting curb and gutter on our sidewalk change the whole look of the street. I mean, just these three things. I mean, I'm saying just to make it doesn't mean it's cheap, but I mean, these three things can change the whole terrain of the street if we just put them in. So, we as a staff think we want to think big, of course, take into consideration what we currently have, but that has stopped us from doing some of this stuff in the near future, probably 20 to 30 years from now. So the next question is, what next? We want to create policies, we want to create plans, strategies, and projects. And what we want to do, how we want to do that is, we currently have a code that detects or regulates development in terms of building facade, heights, and then any other development in the city. So moving forward, we have listed what we currently have, and we are giving it out to you whenever you have time before the next meeting. Please read over them. If you think there are certain regulations in there that is just too much or would make development in the area difficult, please feel free to write it. So for example, if we have on there, like for a building setback is 25, and you think a 25 setback will prevent certain development from going on, you could go ahead and suggest something. If you think the height requirements that we currently have will prevent certain kind of businesses from coming into the city, please go ahead and write it down. If you think we should waive landscaping for certain kind of businesses, please go ahead and write it down. So basically, this is a freestyle kind of overlay issue that we want to create. So look at what we currently have. If you think we should make certain regulations stricter for that part of the city, please let us do. I mean, and one thing I know we have discussed in the office is to reduce the requirement for building facade. So if you are requiring concrete on 2410, we don't expect people to build concrete buildings on the VNB because of the fact that we want to encourage large warehouses or any other business that would come in. So these are some of the things that we want to put in place. And of course, you don't necessarily have to rely on what we have in there. If you've seen something in the city that you think we can put in as part of this overlay district, please go ahead and write it in there. And when we meet at our next meeting, we'll sit down and go over that. And so moving forward, we as a staff are going to start writing our documents. We have a lot of information from you with regards to some of the current problems that we didn't even identify in our project. And of course, one thing that which is very key here is the fact that we need to look at what people actually want to do on VMB. We've had businesses coming in, restaurants, bars, they are not lasting. So what else can we put in place as a realistic kind of development? So we have taken everything that you said today, and then we would revise everything that we've shown today. Probably by next month's meeting, we would be able to provide a draft chapter one of the overlay district.
Good.
Right. So if you have any other questions or discussions, I would be willing to answer them.
We might have a question, maybe Mark can answer. Is there like a cost per mile for sidewalks? Just like a factor you guys use, like it's $50,000 for a mile?
He's got a dead.
Yeah, I'm sure. I was just wondering how much would it be to run? What's our stretch from Lloyd Reynolds to Edwards Drive, roughly, that we're trying to put sidewalks in?
Well, for residential, which we do a lot of that, for a 5-foot sidewalk, you would probably want six or larger on those. But for a 5-foot sidewalk in residential, 70-foot lot, it's going to cost you about $1,000 to get across that 70-foot lot.
So 50, 60 grand a mile, probably.
Well, it depends what the topography is. It has to be ADA compliant now, so the more topography you have, the more expensive.
Do we know approximately how far it is from Roy Reynolds to what we were talking about? You know, basically, what's our stretch of being?
4 miles.
2 miles or 4 miles? No, just a ballpark. I mean, I don't know if it's 2 miles or we're talking about 4 miles.
I think it's four.
4 miles, okay.
So 4 miles.
Would you go with
Larry Brown? I would say like 2 or 3.
Three miles,
I would say like 2 to 3.
Yeah, I don't think it's more than that. You live here and work here and drive around all day, and you want to go down there once a month.
Yeah, but I'll save maximum 2.5 miles.
Yeah. Okay.
2.5.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I think it's 2 or 4. What would be the chance of just, like we had talked about, the early stages of just restriping? How much would it be for us to pony up the restriping veterans? And then if you do small baby steps, like we talked about one time, if we say we restriped, would we get even somebody to look at it, or one business maybe to, obviously you're not going to get 15 places to come in, but would restriping and making it look good enough maybe draw some attention to it that maybe we'd get one person to open up there? It'll kind of give you an idea of the, you know, percentage there, maybe, that for how much money we spend and not be able to attract a single business.
And I
know it's a TxDOT road, but obviously if we wanted to do it, we could do it, right?
Yes,
well, if we pay for it, of course,
And I also have a question for the board. I mean, having come in, I've seen a lot of businesses come in, restaurants especially. I mean, most of them, they don't survive. From staff's perspective, it's probably because people don't patronize it. And I mean, most of you have been in this city for so long. What is your personal take on that? Why you think it's a new business? I mean, and whenever we talk to these business owners, I mean, they have so much hope. They come in looking so happy with the hope that these businesses are going to survive. And within some few months, it just dies off. And so what do you think are some of the reasons? Apart from people not just wanting, is there any particular reason why people don't want to come to VMB?
Well, there's no reason to.
Yeah, of course.
There's nothing that really keeps them away. There's just no other reasons to go there. You know, somebody has to be that catalyst, that person that takes the chance and puts in a business up there that attracts folks, that attract other businesses, that attract folks, that, you know, snowballs upward.
So the thing has got to do with a business not being attractive enough to. So in that case, do we need chain businesses coming in there? But most of the business we deal has to do with privates.
Yeah, mom and pops.
Yeah. So you think we need like a chain business?
Like what pop?
Like, you know, like, let's say McDonald's or, you know.
I don't know if a chain would You know what Chad would go down there?
Just about the population or traffic?
Yeah, we have the old skating rink down there, which still draws kids in. Parents go there, drop the kids off. We have the Kiku restaurant, which apparently has some kind of accidental fire there. Is that right, accidental fire? Burned, I guess, made a place where they can't operate there anymore. And I've actually been working with somebody to get into that place. People in the restaurant business are extremely good. They are very good at what they do. And they've looked at that place, and they have thought about moving to Harker Heights, or putting another place in Harker Heights. So we have that sitting there. Then we have the Karaoke Mics. Karaoke. Mic deal next door there. So we have stuff over there, and people do go down there to drop off their kids. And that's the deal. We need to be able to grab these people to go somewhere else, or let them see, hey, my husband's truck can be fixed at the diesel place, or like he was on the tire places, or we have to welder our rides. But places down there that they can go, they don't know them. They've been told, don't go down there, it's bad. So they don't go down there.
Well, and the other thing is, if they're charging the same thing on
the rent deal,
they are on B&B, they're going to go 24/10. It looks better. There's more traffic because it looks better. Plus, it's the director towards all of our residential areas.
But a rental 24/10 has got to be much, much higher.
No.
No.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Those people over on B&B do not realize that they aren't over on 24/10 in the brand new concrete stand-up building. They think they want the same $2 a square foot or $4 a square foot or whatever the price is done.
It was just a tough retail restaurant environment when I got out there. Good, think about it. You look at all this land up and down 24/10, we're not even 60% full on 24/10. You got all that land from Bo Riley's all the way down to the mountain line.
Now
on the other side of the island. Basically what you would call oceanfront property. It is premium, it's the perfect place to be. It's got the highest traffic counts. You're around other national tenants and franchises, where all the new neighborhoods are being built. And they're still not even being,
I wonder what the piece of property costs there, just south of Freddy's. I mean, there's a pretty good piece of land there.
Lots of things on the road.
Yeah.
It just takes a really big boy right now.
Oh,
yeah. Scared to death, the retail environment.
And
the
rest probably of $250,000. Easy.
Oh, easy. It's $20 a foot. $15 to $20 per foot just for land cost.
Yeah, and it is sad because a lot of the smaller people think it's really easy to get into business. They got a great idea, but they don't have the financial smarts and backing to get into a place and hold out when times are tough. And let's face it, when the market flushes, we all feel it, and so then we have to hold on to a couple of new people come in, and then they go back up again.
We only have 35,000 soldiers here, 90,000 are deployed right now. One out of every four soldiers is gone.
When I moved here in 2009, I looked around and I didn't find a whole lot of selection in houses. Now, just where I ended up buying, I've never seen so many houses for sale. So we're in that stage now, and that's the other thing. A lot of little people that would like to start something, they're not going to start something when they think things are going south. The city has to make it easier for people to get into business and stay in business. The chamber needs to get involved with the city so that they have programs to teach some of these small entrepreneur type guys how to run their business. How to get marketing, how to do all these things that we need to have done to get people in here. It's a huge partnership, and everybody has to take advantage of it.
Well said.
It's cyclical, so it'll come around. This is a long-term vision.
Okay.
We don't know that the 24/10 overlay may be hindering some of these other guests from coming in right now. But it was okay when everything was going great and you could go about what cost it would come here. But now maybe they're not buying that land because they're going to spend $30,000 on a wall. On a masonry, put masonry wall up for that house that's mine. Or all the other things that they have to go through with losing a lot of the land isn't usable. You got to put up a driveway, you got to put up a driveway, but even the service road off of 24/10 with a sidewalk on both sides and all that. So all of a sudden, you're you're paying $20 a foot for land, you're squeezing this guy down, he can only build a building on this much of it.
I know moving forward, we as a staff have discussed in the office the possibility of reducing some of these tough regulations to, I mean, help business owners. And I think our city council was in favor of allowing people who want to develop their R1I not to pay certain fees.
Right.
So moving forward, I believe, like you talked, we could always partner with the chamber and other people to see if we could create some incentives for this smaller business that want to come in there, especially because those are the ones that we always see trying to apply for something along VMB. So, and just so you know, we've had so many businesses, I mean, potential business owners try to put Gentlemen's Club along VMB. I mean, this year alone, I can't say we had no success or something. I don't know, for some reasons, they have the feeling that...
Well, that's just what we need. We need a few more of those here.
That business will fit well in that area, so... But so I don't think we would want to reduce...
Yeah, long-term vision of VMB, do we have a way to limit that? I mean, you know, a lot of cities have SOB designated areas.
Well,
so that limits anybody else from going in.
Currently...
If our long-term vision is to create this other environment for VMB, then we do need to keep any of those coming in now.
Sure.
So they're not there 10 years from now.
Well, I think our current regulations really makes it very difficult for them to come in. And I believe the city council is not opposed against that development, but it's not in favor of it being along VMB because of the perception that people had about Hacker Heights.
Take it out, Tim.
Yeah, so anyway, as it's 6:30. If there's no question, then I will sign off, but I will probably send work on the first chapter.
But yeah, we're supposed to turn these in?
I don't know. We'll get this at the next meeting because that'll be more like a chapter two of the document. So,
all right, very good.
All right,
great job. Thank you. All right, we're going to close out the workshop at 6:29 p.m. And now we're going to jump in. You might need to take a break for a second. Everybody good?
Yeah,
we got a minute.
All right. So whose job is it to bring out the owner of the distinguished property?
It's the city.
She grinned over here.
Come on, put on your hot pants and walk on there. No, it is. It's the city. Everybody, there needs to be a partnership between private industry, so to speak, and the government entities and the chamber. And that needs to be a group separate from us, separate from, you know, that can get together and, you know, entice people to come in.
Right.
You know, like I said, I've been looking for a business since 2009. That's 10 years. Almost 10 years. And so I'm not paying I can get a building, I can get a Microsoft, there's something wrong. Especially when you look at the cost of houses. You know, up there, if you get a house for $600,000, you stole it. Down here, you can get a house for $100,000 for a little bit. Yet the cost of commercial property is so high.
Provide the council with independent, objective, and coordinated evaluations and recommendations of planning and zoning issues in the context of state statutes, local ordinances, and the city's land use and comprehensive plans. Except for preliminary plats, all votes are recommendations and are forwarded to the council for decision. Secretarial note, commissioners present and absent. I'm showing Ruiz absent and Anderson absent. And Kingsley was on here, but of course he's no longer here, but everyone else is here. We do have a quorum. Everybody silence their cell phones or electronic devices. First order of business is going to be the approval of the minutes for the regular meeting held on August 30th, 2017. And whenever y'all are ready, I'm ready for a motion. Mr. Petsky?
I move that the minutes be accepted as written.
All right. Do I have a second? All right. Mr. Webster, second. Any discussion?
Wait, who seconded?
I'm sorry, Webster's.
Webster. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I saw his hand go up, I'm sorry.
Did not see it. He's way down there.
Okay, I apologize. I just saw his hand go up out of the corner of my eye. I'm sorry.
Petsky is the motion and Webster's second.
Okay.
All right. Any discussion? Nope. All in favor, please signify by raising their hands. And that is unanimous right there. Okay. All right. Okay, and the next thing is recognition of affidavits for conflict of interest.
We have none.
All right. Next, a report on development activity. Ms. Perez.
Thank you, Chairman. Let me get through a couple of these slides. All righty. So for the month of October, we haven't had any commercial construction permits issued. That's what you're seeing every time I generate this, is there may be things that are entered into the system. There may be things that are closed out. Whenever I generated based off of a permit that has been issued. So it could very well be possible that we have things that are pending that are being reviewed by staff. They just haven't had a permit issued to them. So just some clarification on that. So a total of 10 commercial permits thus far in 2017. We've got 3 residential permits that have been pulled, 1 resident in Grover Witten Place, and then we've actually got 2 R1I lots, one off of 1807 Aztec, that's recently been subdivided, as well as 1410 Maya. I think Maya is going to have an R1I on the corner lot and then 2 duplexes internal to it. So if you're driving around Comanche land areas, maybe go check out what those lots look like to kind of get a visualization of what to anticipate from further R1I development. But those are all on the south side of town. We've also had 5 duplex residential construction pulled for the month of October, 2 in Comanche land, and then we've also got 3 duplexes along Ball Road. So if you're out of the Summit Soccer Complex, I've been out there every Saturday with my son, and I see them, you know, construction going on.
That's the Ball Road.
Yeah.
So if you were over there with the soccer deal going on, mm-hmm. young kids, where would you go? Well, veterans, would you go somewhere for coffee, somewhere to drink? If there was somewhere there.
If there was, yeah, no. If that's the thing is.
I like donuts.
You know, if it comes, I'm gonna be in line. I'm gonna get there, but we go back to the same issue of you have to make a place inviting. You have to actually bring place to the area. You have to make it sort of like a vista of the city. People desire to travel to, not just from Harker Heights, but Killeen people want to come here, not just recreationally in the evenings, but all throughout the day. So, but yeah, so a total of 166 residential permits, 138 of those being single family, and then 28 of those being duplex, and we've had 0 multifamily. Stillhouse Flats is, I believe, fully final. Don't quote me on that, but they're getting pretty close. But they've already started leasing. As of October 3rd, you're getting October 3rd, which would give you September. So you're getting the full month of September, which I don't believe that I'd given you last time as far as the population goes. But for the full month of September, once we got all of the active residential water accounts accounted for, we're looking at about 30,365 residents for the city.
That 30,365.
You'll see that number fluctuate a lot just because what I do is I go in through there and we get 9,000 some odd accounts, and I go in through there and I pull out all of the accounts that are associated with any rental company. So I do like a query search for rental or management or property or townhouse. And if it has a different mailing address, more often than not, you'll see the repetitive ones. And I pull all of those out because they're probably vacant currently. So I'm pulling out about 50, 60 throughout the city at any given time for whenever I generate the report. So we're doing pretty good.
You sure are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions, commissioners? All right. Thank you very much, ma'am. Oh, crap. We can go. Leo, are you going to go over this part? Yeah, you're going to go over this part. All right, sure.
Hyped up on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. So on August 30th, PNZ had a case on both Nolaville Road and Nolaville Boulevard, and that was changing from a PDR to PDR. Basically, the applicant was trying to make some minor changes to it. Planning and Zoning Commission approved or recommended this for approval with a vote of 6-0. And then the City Council also approved it 5-0. And then on October 10, 2017, the City Council adopted an ordinance amending the I-1 single family infill dwelling district to allow 1-year extension for zoning incentives. And they approved it by 3-0. As we remember, we adopted the I-1 zoning district, and we had some incentives in there. And I think we had about 3 developments for the R1I and 5. So City Council thought it, since it's ongoing, they thought it wise to extend the incentives package for another year. And then as we presented at the last workshop, the city is that we proposed to have a new zoning district from which is the R2I. City Council approved it on October 10th with a vote of 3-0. And just a quick refresher on that, this is going to be for duplex within certain areas in the city. It's a more of an infill. And I think I would say the major difference is the fact that currently every duplex lot has to be minimum 8,500 square foot. But this R2I allows for 6,000 square feet and some reduction in setbacks. City Council thought it was a great idea, and based on your recommendation, they approved it by 3-0. I'll be able to really answer any questions on that.
I have one question. Is on that zoning ordinance, does that include the north side for R1I?
For the R1I, yes, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we allowing R1I into new development as well?
Nope, it's going to be for infill, and we have specific areas that we showed on the map for just for the R1I. So if it's not, if the area is not located within the geographical regions that was accepted as part of the ordinance, then it's a no.
Okay.
So it's all infill.
Any other questions, commissioners? Thank you very much, Leo. Okay, first item on a public hearing is Z17-15, conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider a rezoning request from R1 One Family Dwelling District to R1R Rural One Family Dwelling District on property described as Comanche Gap Estates, Block 001, Lot 0006, acres 2.58, with property ID of 811, generally located at 2237 Apache Drive, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Ms. Perez for the city.
Thank you, Chairman. So like you stated in the brief description, the applicant is desiring to rezone their current property at 2237 Apache Drive from R1 to R1R. Let's see, I'll kind of give you a little aerial image of what that property looks like. In order to even rezone to R1R, the minimum requirement for acreage is 2 acres, and the applicant does have about 2.58 to be exact. So they do meet that. I believe that their intended purpose for the accessory structure is to build a much larger accessory structure, and this R1I zoning district will allow that specifically. And I believe that the use is just for maybe a garage or storage, but the applicant is here and could speak to that more later. Some images of the current site. You'll see that the elevation's pretty steep there. They're actually further back on the property. So predominantly in the area, that area in particular, you've seen a lot of agricultural uses. Our existing land use map does show that single-family residences are scattered throughout, and then a handful of those lots are vacant. And so our zoning does identify that to be a single-family zoning district. You'll see there on Apache Loop, I believe it was last year, or potentially earlier this year, that we rezoned the two lots to the north to use for agricultural uses. They had animals on the property at the time, and so seeing R1I in this area isn't completely uncommon. Our future land use map identifies the entire area along that south side and along Comanche Gap Road to be single family residential. So allowing that the accessory structure wouldn't change anything as far as having a single family residence on the property. And this is just a survey that the applicant provided whenever they turned in their application. It just kind of shows the current location of their driveway, their boundaries, the location of their house. Oh, it's angry. There we go. So I took the R1R and kind of condensed it there, but just kind of to give you an outline of why it was acceptable in that area. And more or less, it states that accessory buildings that fall under the category shall include such buildings as private stables, barns. So again, going back to the fact that larger acre lots historically in Hartford Heights been used for agricultural uses, but it does also identify that it can be used for farm equipment storage or storage in general, and other buildings incidental to small agricultural production and storage permitted. So just giving residents a bit, because they have a bit more land, giving them a bit more space to store anything that they might have on their property. So we sent out notification. We sent out a total of 13 notices to surrounding properties whenever we do our 400-foot buffer. We did receive one back that was in favor. We didn't receive any back that were opposed. So currently, based off of everything that I've just gone over with you, staff does recommend approval of the rezoning request from R1 to R1R on property at 2237 Apache Drive. If you have any questions at this time, I'd be happy to answer them. Again, the applicant is here if you would like to answer, ask the applicant any questions.
Any questions of Ms. Perez? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to clarify what the R1 rule means. When I look it up in on 155.023, it's pretty specific, is that land has to be used for agricultural reasons, and that is animals or actual growing things. And it also states that if you're going to have an accessory building, that it has to be, it shall not exceed 1,000 square feet per acre. And I haven't heard how many square feet they're talking about. But that would only mean that the combined aggregate total would be 2,500 max. Mm-hmm. Are they within that limit?
I do not know how large they intend to build the structure. If they were to get the zoning, they would then pull a permit, and we would make sure that they had the proper acreage and square footage ratio. But as far as the agricultural goes, it kind of just opens the door that if they do currently have agricultural endeavors going on the property, they can continue that use, simply because more often than not, this zoning district, whenever we had annexed property, we would annex it in blanket zoning R1. And we were seeing a lot of agricultural properties that were over 5 acres that weren't meeting the current zoning district. And so R1R allows them to kind of keep within our zoning district and stay operating as they have been in the past. But it also doesn't prohibit if they have the acreage of 2 acres, it doesn't prohibit them, even if they don't have any agricultural uses going on the property. They can still...
Well, the understanding would be that you need that extra space. You're saying they need it for equipment, agriculture equipment. Mm-hmm. So obviously there has to be some agriculture going on.
It's possible. I don't think that the code is strict in saying that agriculture has to be going on the property, but it allows them that in the future.
And what would be the intent of making it rural?
Just the fact that all those properties out there have a lot of
acreage. They're allowed to have a bigger building, basically. Like a metal structure.
Mm-hmm. I understand that, but the intent of making something R is for agricultural.
I can see that.
Okay. If that's the case, everybody in Harker Heights has more than 2 acres is just going to call themselves agricultural so they can have a bigger building.
And they probably could get away with it.
Well, the problem we have, we don't have an agricultural zoning in Harker Heights. We're probably one of the two cities in the country that don't have one.
That's why I looked this up as far as what the definition of R1 was.
Well, I agree with you on the agriculture portion there that we don't have to have cattle, they don't have to have necessarily goats, they could have chickens, they could have a number of things, but they could also simply have, I've got stuff growing here, I've got a garden, I've got this.
That's my point, is if they have that, then they meet the guidelines that we have in here.
Yeah, but I don't think that meeting the guidelines as far as our deal is simply the R1R here, whether they have agriculture or they don't have agriculture, that's not for us to decide. Our deal here is to decide tonight that will this fit there? Will this work there? The first R1R we ever had in Harker Heights, less than a mile from their house, right there up on a hill, they put in a huge metal building there. Now, that particular guy had goats, he had all kinds of animals there, but he had also, I think, 20 acres of land.
That's my point,
yeah.
Is that if you only have 2.5 acres, you're not going to have a bunch of horses, you're not going to have a bunch of cows, you're not going to have a bunch of goats. You might have some chickens, but does that mean that you have to have a few chickens to build a bigger, spot in the back of a R1 area?
I'm with you, but I think that some people have, the bigger your lot is, the more stuff you have, whether it be a boat,
tractor,
RV, riding lawnmower, big zero
then
turn.
We need to change what R1 is as far as what size a building can be.
I think it's pretty...
Not say it should be R1R.
Okay, I got you. All right. So you're saying going to R1 simply, which we already have restrictions there on the size of the building.
Correct.
So you're talking about having something where they can have larger buildings there at 1 acre or at 2 acres?
Yeah, that's my whole point, is we have restricted R1.
Right.
Why?
Okay. Good point.
Why have we done that? As long as all the neighbors agree that can be like that. I've seen stuff in Harker Heights in my area where they've got an RV barn in the back of their yard.
Right.
But it was done before the code.
Right.
Okay.
A lot of that.
Why? Why can't someone next door to them have the same thing?
I think we should fire that up, check it out.
Exactly. So we shouldn't be going, using R1R
to get
a bigger building.
Well, let's find out what these, they don't like farmers to me, but we'll find out in a minute. Let's find out what they...
But I don't think they have plans of using it for farming.
But I don't think you can.
But you have a good point, but you see, when you look at the ordinance, it's kind of, I don't know how to put it, but it follows each other. So let's say if somebody has an R2, nothing stops the R2 from putting in a single family residence.
Right.
So the R1 is to allow you to put a house,
right.
And if you want to do extra agriculture, then you can do that on R1R. So that doesn't stop you from building just a house on R1R.
And I agree with that, but what you're saying is agriculture, like we're tying it strictly to agriculture.
Yeah.
That's what this says.
Yeah.
That's what this says.
And
that's why you would need a bigger building if you had a tractor, parts for the tractor.
What kind of tractor? I mean, 2.5 acres. What kind of?
That's my whole point. Why do we need a bigger building if we don't have all that stuff for agriculture?
Guys need bigger buildings. That's
of course we do. We need man caves.
Yeah.
But we don't need to call it an R.
All right. I'm in agreement with that, commissioners. We should make a deal here. Everybody, we want to go over this in the future. We can't go over tonight, but you
You guys want to talk about this the next meeting?
Yeah, we'll talk to Joseph before. We'll be willing to bring it back for a workshop and possibly changes.
Okay, good.
But as it is right now, like you rightly said, anybody who has more than 2 acres within the city limits can rezone to I-1R.
But if we are going to do that, let's just say we pass it tonight, then there is one restriction in here, that the aggregate space cannot exceed 1,000 square foot per acre. They already have one building.
Sure.
If not a smaller building. I don't know if that's useful for you. You didn't show it on the pictures. But the building they have right now is pretty big. Okay, and you looked at it in the picture. Maybe the picture is deceiving. I don't know. But if they build another building, the total cannot be greater than 2,500. But
that we would enforce. We will enforce that. So that is really
but
on
if
end.
We don't look at this,
no.
Then everyone's going to call it an R.
Okay. I'm with you on that. All right, well, listen. Commissioners, anybody else have any other questions here? Leo, Ms. Perez? Okay. All right.
He has a very good point.
He does? No, the R1R we only have for a short time period. It's not like we've had it for forever. And we've only done, I guarantee we have done 10 of them. Now we haven't done yours yet. You might be 11. I don't know. But let's go ahead and finish up here. We're going to knock these people out. And we're gonna, this poor guy's been sitting here for 3 hours. All right. So at this point, Ms. Perez, thank you very much. Who is here representing this request? Sir, if you please come over here and state your name and your address.
Hello, my name is Chet Jump.
Chet.
Jump, as in jump rope, J-U-M-P.
Okay.
2237 Apache Drive, Harker Heights.
Okay, sir. Tell us about what you plan to do.
Basically build a workshop. As of now, there is zero parking, indoor parking. That building that you guys are speaking about out back, it's a wooden structure. It's not very big. It only has a door about this wide. There's no power, no plumbing or anything down there. So I'm a tinker. I've got a couple of cars, and that's basically what it's for. It's going to be for me to work on my cars and park whatever farm equipment.
What size building were you going to put in there?
I'm proposing 1,500 square feet.
Okay.
You know, nothing. I don't want an eyesore for us or for the neighbors or anyone else. So, and in the spot. We're intending to put it or would like to put it. It's basically, you really won't even be able to see much of it from the street anyway. There's trees all along the front of it. I don't want an eyesore any more than anyone else does. So,
are you planning on putting in utilities, water, sewer?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the plan, yes.
You have sewer there as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I would like you on septic out there now, or you're on a...
It's septic.
Okay.
So you're going to hook in additionally to the septic you already own?
I'm going to have to look at that and see what I'm able to do or what is required if I have to put new septic or pump system or whatever it takes.
Okay. But you're not putting in another residence there. No one's going to rent this property.
No.
It's not going to be an apartment or
no, sir.
Anything like that.
Okay, no.
Good. All right. Well, one, we appreciate your service to our country. And two, Commissioners, y'all have any other questions here for the man?
Right. Yes, sir.
Mr. Jump, how long have you owned the property?
2 months, just about 2 months, yes, sir.
Okay, so you just bought it?
Yes.
Are there any people that live above you that this would block their view of the lake?
No. We're surrounded by trees, pretty much. It wouldn't.
Okay. How many square feet is the building that you have right now?
The house?
No, not the house. The other accessory.
Oh, the one down the back. If I remember correctly, it's about 17 feet by 16 or 17 feet. And it's a wooden structure, which preferably I would like to go metal because fire, like I said, I like to work on cars and stuff. So grinders, torches, things like that, I don't want a fire hazard. So. But it won't be an ugly structure.
Now, will you be removing what's currently there and adding, or will that be a separate?
I'm just using it for storage right now. If I were needed to remove it, I would. I wasn't intending to, but whatever.
About Where are you going to put this at in your yard? Because you've got some gorgeous oak trees in the front.
Yes, I can show you. Actually, it's that same picture, and I just wrote in blue where I intend to put the shop, right there.
Basically, where that
couple
trees
are. Right behind those trees, actually.
Yeah. See, you've got some great property out there.
It's
the whole area is very nice there. The elevation is
just negative.
Yeah, they do. This guy behind here is a character. But,
yeah, right along that fence line and behind the fence line.
Because the ones on the, I said, man, I hope he's going to cut down those big old trees.
Yeah, see, I was hoping he's going to put in that big ordinary by the other federal building because I don't want
to touch those trees. Yeah, actually, and looking at that, there was only one tree that we would probably have to get rid of in order to do it. And the one that's right next to it had already fallen over. And it's, but yeah, that's we would have to take out one tree.
Killer of the deal.
Just better. Where I wrote it in blue, that's where I intended to put the shop. Blue outline there.
How far is that away from your residence?
About 70 feet, maybe, if I had to guess.
This guy's asking a lot of questions.
That's okay. Here's where the blue outline is, right along that fence line.
Nah, that's not going to work. Terrible looking. No.
Where's your septic?
My septic is right over here off this.
Okay, go down here.
I don't think it's very deep, so I may have to pump it or something. I mean, whatever. Whatever happens.
Okay. Routes in the field.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, commissioners, do we have any other questions here of our farmer friend?
Nope, he's a carpenter.
All right. Sir, please have a seat. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Now open the public hearing here. Is there anyone that would like to speak for this or against this? Is there anyone like to speak for this or against this?
Well, you know the wife wants to speak against it because it's going to be a shock and she'll never see him again now.
Is there anyone like to speak for this or against this? All right, with that, I'm going to close out the public hearing. At this time, commissioners, it's back to y'all. Do we have a motion?
I
good job. Put the hand up higher. There we go. All right. Commissioner Watford,
you can just read off that.
We considered the rezoning to approve the rezoning request for R1 family, one family dwelling district to R1-R, rural one family, wait a minute, yeah, one family dwelling district on property described as Comanche Gap Estates, Block 001, Lot 0006, acreage 2.58, with the property ID of 811, generally located at 2237 Apache Drive, Parker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Very good, sir. Do we have a second? Do we have a second on this? All right. Sorry, I've got Penske right here. Mr. Pesky. Second. Any discussion, commissioners? Yes, sir.
I just want to state that I would love to have a man cave as well.
Okay. Who would?
But I feel that we're not meeting the intent of what R1R is, and we need to definitely take a look at that.
I can see that. Yes, sir. Okay, duly noted. Any other discussion, commissioners? Okay, all in favor, please signify and raise their hands. All right. And opposed? All right, we have one opposed.
Why?
Okay, Commissioner Webster is opposing it. Everyone else is with it. So 5-1 there, and it passes.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much, folks. All right. Next item is citizens to be heard. Are there any citizens to be heard out there? Nope. Any staff comments?
We actually do.
All right. And you guys did great with that, Joseph. Tell you what, I'm going to tell them that. Very good. We'll probably get rid of him. Yeah, there we go. Save some money right there, pay for those sidewalks. Yeah, you know.
Save some money for
you turned that recorder off, didn't you?
So we kind of want to touch base. We're getting around to that time of the year where holiday schedules may conflict with our P&Z schedule. So as you can see, kind of that blue column there, we've got a November 29th meeting and a December 27th meeting. So keep those in mind. I'm going to switch to the next slide. So
November 29th is the week after Thanksgiving.
Correct.
Okay,
so
it's after Thanksgiving. Okay.
We don't feel, as a staff, that that would be an issue, which is why I've said P&Z meeting November 29th, okay, question mark. Just wanted to gather a consensus of how everybody feels about a November 29th meeting. It's the week after Thanksgiving, as Yvonne stated, no issues. Shouldn't be. I know we're missing some members. But...
Am I good for that?
Okay, so the next month, however, December.
I'm getting married December 23rd.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah. Again, it's been a few times. we're going to be in the hurricane-ravaged St. Croix.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've had it booked for over a year.
Take your lawnmowers with you. They need them.
So, well, we'll be back in time for that. So, good.
Okay, so if we don't have any concerns with December, being that it's going to be a couple days after Christmas, we can certainly have a meeting. However, we have come up with a plan B to have potentially two meetings in January of 2018. January of 2018 is about a 5-week month. We could potentially push our December meeting to January 3rd. And as well, should we have any cases come for the month of January, also have a January 31st P&Z meeting. We've kind of done the math, and we would be able to get any notifications out in time, but it just kind of depends on, one, if we have cases, and then two, if we even have any issues with a December 27th meeting. If you feel that a quorum would not be possible at the time, being that people may be on vacation or just not wanting to show up.
I will be on vacation that period,
okay.
So I don't know about the others.
As far as I'll be here,
but I can see where it might be a hard week for some people, being as it's 2 days after Christmas.
Correct. Staff as well.
Same work week.
I'll be here.
Yeah.
But I can't speak for the remainder of the staff. Don't know.
What about our alternates? Are we going to bring somebody up for Kingsley or not?
We're working on it. We're kind of in flux.
Where we're running out of people. So we've got new buddies that aren't currently on any boards. Joseph has also asked me to task you with the potential of P&Z members, ZBA members. Obviously, you know, you fill two hats of BSC, so making any candidates that you might want to suggest to fill these positions that we have open.
I got somebody to come in.
Yes.
And we won't have done time until after you've been here for a while.
Okay.
So, yeah. There's a couple of people that have said, well, how do you do this in my neighborhood? So, you know, I'll go, hey.
Absolutely, yeah. I've kept a list of citizens that have called in or that have come to the counter, and if they've had a positive vibe with how the city works, I always do a follow-up with them. But that being said...
So you don't want anybody on here that doesn't have a positive vibe? Is that the deal?
Well, some people have agendas, and that can be difficult to work with. But we want agendas that are positive for not just maybe somebody's neighborhood, but the city as a whole.
Right.
We want to make sure that we're taking care of the city of Harker Heights and not just one main street. So that's what we look for overall. That's the overarching theme of being on the P&Z and so on. So.
Well, I'm good with those dates there. The only one would be him not being able to be here. Everybody else is good.
Yep.
You're good?
Yep, sir.
All right.
All right. Yes.
I think it's from the last meeting. Anything else?
That's all I have.
Well, hey, so the R1 Art Hill, if y'all can talk to Joseph about that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would be good.
Talk to City Council. Let's get an agricultural zoning in so we don't have this problem.
Right.
You know, I mean, like I said, I went looking for places that were like Harker Heights. I found Harker Heights and 130,000 person town that doesn't have an agricultural.
You'll see suburbs of Austin, even, you know, Buda and Kyle, that I'm familiar with, that have ag zoning. And they're bigger in size as far as maybe not what's fully incorporated, but what their right. ETJ has to offer than we are. But still, nonetheless, they're right off at 35. You see a lot of larger corporations. Griffiths is in San Marcos. You've got bigger companies coming to that area, coming to the Austin greater metropolitan area, that you wouldn't really think that ag would be such an intense, you know, zoning out there, an intense use out there. But they still have it. It's still offered nonetheless.
You know, you got
so
the,
it's definitely something that we can discuss.
You know, goat cheese makers and those
absolutely.
People.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we can, would like to have maybe a cheese business or something. With
yeah.
Them. And we have to give them a place for their
you know, or vineyards for grapes, aka
right.
wine. You know,
right. So anyway,
possibilities.
You guys might bring that up to the guys that are above us.
Right.
And you know,
yes.
It would solve a lot of problems. It would solve our problem tonight.
Well, the other thing, too, is the county has to prove that as far as agricultural.
Yeah,
as far as tax
right,
purposes.
You want to be tax exempt.
But you can still have the zoning,
things.
Though,
yeah.
And not have the
certain restrictions rate. That R1 would implement, or as well as R1R would implement. It
yeah.
would be a completely separate set of restrictions or guidelines for that zoning class.
Yeah, because there's a big difference in taxes.
Oh, huge.
Yeah. There is. And that's one of the reasons why places like, you know, the little goat milker guys and stuff won't come here, because they have to pay residential taxes.
Right.
And then they would have to pay their business taxes and all this other stuff to go
no, right. If they're in Harker Heights right now and they have livestock, chances are they have this exemption through the
no.
No
kidding. No.
That's the problem.
I don't think
no.
they do because yeah. that was the question I asked
oh, yeah.
that one lady when she was trying to
get
that business
story. Yeah, that was a different deal there. I can tell you right now people I know
you
that
probably
have
feed restrictions
where you are. Right now in the county where they pay $120 in taxes for 30 acres per year.
I bet somebody in that neighborhood would know.
I specifically asked Joe that question.
Now you can have your house and that around there, the 1 acre it's on.
Yes,
yeah, you can pay taxes on that. You try
rest.
Rest. Oh, yeah. There's several people like that. Several.
Yeah, but my point is we could have more.
In the city limits.
That still in the county is not the easiest thing.
If it's rural, not developed, then they have different requirements.
Well, to get ag exempt, you have to have animals on it for 5 years.
Right.
So they'll have different requirements than you will, like in the development like for cutting the grass.
We have
so
people
like that, yeah.
Absolutely.
And if we don't have it, they can't.
I put solar.
Yeah. But 2.5 acres doesn't make a farm.
Way out there.
Especially on a hill.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I don't have anything
EPA
further.
I'm going to wrap it up right here.
Yes, sir.
So, Mr. Wofford?
We'll be doing the Zemutsu this 7th.
Yes, I believe that is the, should we have any cases come forward in December?
It's the week of Christmas, so I feel December, January 10 would be ideal, I mean, because I don't know if you already made your Christmas plans.
We're talking about
December 27th and Christmas is December 25th.
Well, I'm expecting to see a Christmas tree in here, so I'm good.
So today we're going to begin. Like official, but if you think about it and send us an email if anything changes.
Well, only one person dropping out is going to change it because we won't have the quorum.
But I think his point is probably 50% of the people that work here will not be here that week.
We are going to be around, but I'm just saying again, let's not forget it's 2 days after Christmas.
Well, we may have nothing to do, period, anyways. Or maybe
we might go home and make some other plans. But if anything comes up, let us know. We are willing to meet on January 10th.
Hey guys, we can change the until January 3rd is fine for me, too. It doesn't matter. I'm a good either way.
Better yet, we've got plenty of time to think it over. So
even though I'm not going anywhere,
we pitched an alternative.
It doesn't matter to me.
Why don't we shoot for the December meeting?
Okay,
we change it.
Well, now these guys want January 3rd, and I'm cool with making January 3rd.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but I think the city hall will be closed on the 24th.
I'll be sober by then.
Something.
Because on January 3rd.
We'll be open.
Yeah, my wife's 93 years old and it's assisted living. Okay. Yeah. She can last. I don't know.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
I don't want that.
No, I don't.
All right, we're going to close this out at 7:12.
Good job, guys, girls.